We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We'll load you guys up in the queue. Rapid fire questions for Brad Evans to get this thing moving. Yankees Red Sox last night. Anyone take a look? David Price is in postseason form, getting lit up by the Bombers.
Yankees just motorboat. Man, oh, yeah. They're on fire. Back to back, just knocking the Sox out of it. I can't believe it. Even after all the errors they had the other night, found a way to win. And then last night, just said, okay, we'll keep this thing rolling.
Tough to be motivated if you're Boston right now. Not to give the Bean Towners excuses, but they've had this hay in the barn since about May or June. But hey, I need the Yankees, Lo. I need some more homers for my Yankees. My Yankees. I think I need 20 bombs in the next 11 games.
Got five last night, huh?
Yeah, they had five on it. But I need a flurry here to get my my overseason total.
They started, though, last night. Got to start.
They did.
If you're the Yanks, how much attention are you paying to the Oakland Athletics right now? How much attention are you spending on the team that's right behind you? You obviously, every single year, spend 95% of your bandwidth on Boston. Whether Boston's good, bad, whether you're chasing them down in the division or hoping to meet them in the playoffs, one way or another, the focus is going to be on Boston. But how much attention is New York paying to looking over their shoulder saying, damn, those A's are still back there?
Dude, if I think I'm in the wrong church, different pew, because I'm not looking at that at all. I'm looking at Boston saying, let me look where those A's are. You know what I want to do? I don't want to see the Yankees if I'm Boston. They got big bats. They can make things happen. If I'm Boston, I'm like, look, let's let this game go to where? Let's make that play in Oakland. Let's get rid of the Yankees because they got a slugger's chance. They got more hitters. More, if you look at this, the overall team, it's probably a better team. Guys starting to get healthy. They're starting to get hot. I would think Boston's like, you know what? I want to try to help the A's by making them go play that wild card game in Oakland.
See, I see it the other way. I see him as wanting the Yankees in because then from a travel standpoint, you don't have to come all the way out to Oakland, California.
Good point too.
The furthest you'd have to go would be Houston. If it's Houston, Cleveland, Boston, and New York in the Final Four from a travel standpoint, and you know as a player, that's got to be front of mind. They don't want to be making that flight all the way out to Oakland for a Game 3 of an ALCS.
Yeah, but so. You lose your heart in San Francisco, baby. Thank you. Come on, get to travel out.
Thank you.
I don't know, as a player, you like getting to the West Coast every now and then.
All right, Matt Barrows is going to join us in an hour. We're going to get the latest from him on everything. Reuben Foster, Matt Breida, the beef between Goodwin and Tyreek Hill, which is starting to heat up, all that good stuff. But let's begin on a positive note. Let's begin on a positive note today. Heading into Week 3, we've got a 1-1 football club locally. We've got an 0-2 football club locally. Now, there's plenty of nitpicking, and there's plenty of prognosticating to do over the next 4 hours. But if we begin with a positive 2 weeks in, who is playing winning football? This is something you were big on, Low, with the email chain yesterday. So I looked at that, and I thought to myself, if we were to narrow it down through 2 weeks, there have been highs, there have been lows.
No question.
1-3 overall, these teams combined. If you were to start with the Niners, who, in your opinion, would you circle as this guy? This guy's been giving me everything I need for 2 weeks.
You know who it is, Joe. I tell you what, everyone talks about, oh, the fullback position's dying. Cal Juszczyk, let me tell you about this guy. This guy, all he does, he's a winner. You look at the big plays they had from scrimmage. This guy's leading the way. He is like a lineman in the backfield that's leading the way for the tailback. Usually when the fullback gets through the hole, who's usually behind him? He's either Breeder or Morris, and he's kind of picking his way and leading those guys to safety. You got to watch the seal blocks that this guy is putting on guys, how he's getting guys down on the ground, going through the hole, seeing the safety, hitting one guy, ricocheting to another guy. At times, he's blocking two guys. Guys got to watch Cal Juszczyk, what he's bringing to this offense, that toughness, that durability, that veteran leadership. You can line him up out wide. You can line him up in the backfield. He can catch passes for you at the Z position, at the F position. They move this guy all around. Cal Shanahan is getting the maximum amount of potential and ability out of Cal Juszczyk. I love what he's doing. Play side, backside, front side. I really believe this kid is having a Pro Bowl year. You love what he's doing. This year, he's got, what, 4 or 5 receptions, over 69 yards. I mean, I think the guy's playing great. Averages up. I like what he's doing, and I like the way Cal Shan's getting this guy's involved. So, in my opinion, this guy is kind of that unsung hero, a person that no one really puts the magnifying glass on. But if you watch what he's been able to do on a consistent basis, week in and week out, this goes to me. This got to be my unsung hero. It's It's got to be Juszczyk.
Some thought that when he got the $20 million deal, Shanahan and the Niners were overpaying a bit for the fullback position, but it's naive to look at him as a fullback.
It's
not your traditional fullback position. He's a little bit like Ben Zobrist.
Yep.
He's a little bit like a Swiss Army knife. You can move him around. You can use him to help with blocking and protection in the passing game and the running game. He can carry it himself. There's a lot he brings to the table. And you're right, 2 weeks in, winning football, no doubt. Dibs, one winner on the San Francisco 49ers side.
I'm going to go with Richard Sherman. I was tempted to cite Fred Warner, but I think Richard Sherman is playing winning football because, for the one thing, he's not getting targeted, and that's why you brought him in here. You brought him in here to be a shutdown corner, take away half the field, and he got targeted once last game and once in week one. So they're not throwing the ball to his side, and when you have a defense, a secondary that is clearly struggling with Akello Witherspoon having the ankle injury and being removed from the game, one side of the field is in disarray, but Richard Sherman's side is on lock. And as you head into this Kansas City game, where you know you're going to have difficult matchups at the wide receiver position, you feel good about Richard Sherman because he's been healthy and he's been basically back to the old form. And that's why you paid big money to bring him in.
99 coverage snaps through 2 weeks. He's been in coverage for 99 snaps. He's only been targeted 4 times. He's given up 1 reception for 18 yards and 0 touchdowns. That equates to an opponent quarterback rating of 45.8. That is key because later in the show, we're going to dissect how you go about utilizing Richard Sherman's skill set this weekend against Kansas City. Can you man him up against Tyreek Hill? Can you take that risk?
At times you take that risk. You got to pick your spots, because let's face it, he can't.
The spots would be when Kansas City runs the ball. You can put him in man coverage.
Yeah, definitely. It's going to be a guessing game, and that's where the defense coordinator is going to have to make sure he guesses right at times, because he can't just sit down and say we're going to play man to man with Richard Sherman, because Tyreek is just too fast for him top end, so he's going to be able to run by him. But at times, Richard Sherman, what he does, he's good with his hands. And he's good with his feet. He's able to stay in front of his receiver, and by doing that, that slows him down, and that slows that receiver's speed down. So Richard Sherman does a great job of using the sideline to run guys out of bounds so they can't be the first to touch the ball. He does a great job of shuffling his feet, keeping them in front. So when he's playing man-to-man, he does a great job of not actually playing the man-to-man, because he's keeping them in front, kind of like that, you know, kind of like that wall, so guys can't get by him. And once they get by him, if he's able to get by him, it's going to be trouble. I don't care what defender you have on.
Well, I don't care who on the field is going to guard Kansas City. Anytime any of those 4-3-40 guys gets behind a defender, it's over. You always say if they're even, they're leaving, and that is even more accurate when they don't have the football. So it's one thing to funnel them toward the sideline, but if a guy's running a go route and Richard Sherman's got to turn and run with him, you better get about a 5-yard head start, because these guys can go by anybody.
I'll go with Mike McGlinchey. 2 games in as a rookie, top 10 pick, they threw him right to the wolves at right tackle, and he had to play at Minnesota against one of the league's best pass rushes in week one. And all he did was kick down inside to guard, which isn't his natural position, when the team needed him most, because they were so banged up between Person, Garnett, and everyone else in between. He's done everything he's been asked of. He's yet to give up a sack. He has given up 2 quarterback hits. Garoppolo's been hit a couple times on his watch. But bottom line, Mike McGlinchey is an offensive tackle. The less you hear about him, the better. I remember Orlando Pace at Ohio State was up for the Heisman Trophy. And then after that, he was drafted in the first round by the Rams. And then after that, I didn't hear about him for 20 years. And all he did was put together a Hall of Fame career.
No question. And you loved what that guy was able to do. Pace was nothing but a consistent, but a consummate pro. And I can go back real quick to Cal Juszczyk. Who he reminds me of is Dallas Clark. When you remember that, you look at that team where they used to have Peyton Manning. What did he do? Dallas Clark was that guy. His safety blanket. He could play H-back, could play tight end. And you see Juszczyk's kind of that Swiss Army knife that's kind of in that same type of deal. But as you just talked about, what McGlinchey's been able to do, Joe, it's been phenomenal. You can kick a guy down to guard, and now you got him playing tackle and guard, and his guy's kind of a swinging gate. That's awesome by a rookie to be able to step in the National Football League in a hostile environment and play 2 positions and do pretty well. I like the kid, and I like what he's doing a lot, too.
All right, since we're flowing, we'll spill it over into the next segment. The Oakland Raiders are winners through 2 weeks, as well as this Jimmy Butler story, which is making a mess of the NBA. Wait until you hear this next. Joe Lo and Dibs, 95.7, The Game.
Joe Lo and Dibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
All right, let's keep it cooking here. First segment, all positivity. What have we seen from at least one football player on the 49ers who has played some winning football this season? went around the room. Lowe's Big with Kyle Juszczyk, Dibs, Richard Sherman, myself, Mike McGlinchey. Let's turn our attention to the Raiders before we dive into this Jimmy Butler story, as well as the comment that just came out of Minnesota recently, head coach Mike Zimmer on these new rules. I cannot wait to read this to you. But we'll begin with the Oakland Raiders. 2 weeks, 0-2, but that doesn't mean it's been terrible football. It's been anything but. It's been two really solid first halves and a couple mistakes. By and large, the team, at the very least, looks organized. So if you're to highlight a player from the Oakland Raiders, you would say has been playing winning football through the first 120 minutes, who do you like?
My guy's old Jared Cook. I love the way this guy's been able to get open. I see the way that Derek Carr looks to go to him. I know everyone thought Amari Cooper. You know he was targeted a lot last week. But old Cook, he's been big. 13 receptions, 176 yards, long of 46. The guy went from 17, averaging 13 yards a carry in a catch in his career, up to 17. He's up 4 or 5, and, you know, 5 yards darn near a catch. That's big, and he's been big in these two games. Carr knows where he's at. They have found a little knack for one another. They're going to one another. They're on the same page. You love to see that. You look at Big Ben. You look at certain quarterbacks throughout the National Football League. Look at Peyton Manning when who he had, Dallas Clark. You look at Matty Ice. He had friggin' a great tight end. And
Tony G.
Tony Gonzalez, absolutely. San Diego for many years. Phillip Rivers, Antonio Gates, you go through this process and look New England. You see what they're able to do with a great tight end who's a game changer, arguably one of the best tight ends that ever played the game. And now, what did, you know, Green Bay go out and do for a guy who's a pretty phenomenal quarterback? That's right, Aaron Rodgers. Go get him a tight end. So I love what he's been doing, not comparing Cook to those guys, but when a quarterback has a tight end, that safety blanket, they're able to play at a very high level. And I think Carr has something in Cook. So my guy on offense got to be old Cook.
Jared Cook is now in his 10th season. The most targets he has ever seen in a season, 99, with the St. Louis Rams back in 2014. Through two games, Cook is currently on pace for 128 targets. Small sample size, made up mostly of what we saw in week one against the Rams.
Right.
But regardless, the tight end position finally looks relevant in the passing game for the Oakland Raiders. Dibs, give me a Raider winner through the first 2 weeks of the season.
I'm going on the defensive side of the football, and I'm going to go with Rashawn Melvin because it's been tough being in the secondary for the Oakland Raiders thus far. As we know, Khalil Mack is not rushing through that door. Old Five Deuce is on to Chicago, and as a result, you've got a lot of young pass rushers and Bruce Irvin, who hasn't really produced much pressure. So on the back end, it's been a struggle, but Melvin's done well. 14 targets. He's given up 6 catches, which is not a bad percentage when you look across the team. He has the lone interception, couple pass breakups. He's been a consistent force over the two games, and as the season goes on, you hope that Arden Key and Mo Hurst begin to get home and eat, and Rashawn Melvin's only to continue to improve as the pass rush helps him out a little bit.
Melvin's going to be an interesting individual to watch because he's headed for free agency at the end of the year. Teams are always in need of help at the cornerback position. If the Raiders like him, and if for some reason Garyon Conley does not continue to develop, is he back in the mix, or does he get a big market in play? Say, for example, San Francisco comes knocking because we know they need corners. I'll go with Rodney Hudson. He's given up 0 sacks through 2 games this season. He has given up 0 hits on the quarterback through 2 games this season. He has given up 0 hurries. He's given up 0 pressures, and he's committed 0 penalties. Rodney Hudson is everything you are looking for in a high-priced center. He's quarterbacking that offensive line, and he is delivering in pass protection at a very high level. And keep in mind the opposition he has faced. Week one, Ndamukong Suh and Aaron Donald, the most ferocious defensive tackle combo in the National Football League. Week two, at altitude against the Denver Broncos, another big problem, he came up roses. So Rodney Hudson would be my big winner through the first 2 weeks of the season. The Jimmy Butler story.
Ooh,
demanding
boy.
Out of Minnesota, does not want to play for the Timberwolves. This just a couple years after he demanded out of Chicago, did not want to play for the Bulls. He's listing 3 teams he's willing to be traded to. The Los Angeles.
Cliptown.
Clippers, not Lakers, Clippers, as well as the Knicks and the Nets. Where it gets interesting is that had LeBron not gone to the Lakers, Butler says the Lakers would be on his list. But he does not want to play with LeBron James.
LeBron James.
So, Clippers, Nets, Knicks. He obviously wants to be in two very big cities. You know, this is kind of an interesting trend, however, with players who, after they saw what happened to Kyrie Irving, not necessarily just lining up at the gates to play with LeBron James.
Yeah, and a lot of guys don't want to win championships. I just think that the Butler, when you look at him, why wouldn't he versus the Clippers? And I heard him say the Knicks and, you know, some other teams that he wouldn't play for. And now he will, now he's got to come out publicly and say he won't play for the Lakers because LeBron's there. Who cares if LeBron's there? Go win a championship, Butler. Go get a ring. Go try to do something you can't do besides pop your gums and talk about demanding trades. You wanted to get out of Chicago. You got out. Now you want to get out of this other spot. Get out then. You know what? Have a nice life. Get a Coke and a smile. Send him home and see what it's like in the real world. You know, quit demanding a trade. Quit demanding always wanting to get out. I get it. Sometimes it doesn't work. But you go to a place, you get a new life, you get a new, you know, get a little outlook on sports, whatever job it is, whether it's football, basketball, no matter what. And all of a sudden, now you want out again? Come on. When is it on the player? If you just can't go in and get traded every time the wind blows or every time your coffee's not hot, man, it just sometimes it chaps my you-know-what.
It stuns me, too, because he left Chicago and he wound up in Minnesota playing for Coach Tibbs again.
Tibbs.
So you see people wanting to run from Tibbs. It's no great surprise. He grinds you for 82 games. He is ultra demanding of these players, and I don't get the sense that he has much of an understanding for the ebbs and flows of an NBA season. This whole story, though, to me, is just alarming for the NBA because we're seeing a trend now where these players who have these massive contracts can basically hold these mid-market teams hostage. We saw it with Kawhi Leonard, who sat out an entire year. And now what's Jimmy Butler going to do if they don't trade him? Is he going to come up with some random quad injury and sit out 72 games? It's a shame that these guys are kind of abusing the privilege that they've gotten from guaranteed contracts.
Really they've been coddled more than anyone in any sport. You have to understand this AAU basketball phenomenon.
Oh, my God.
McDonald's all-star teams, the way they're treated when they go to college for one and done. Basketball players are more coddled than any sport. In baseball, you've got to earn your stripes. You've got to go through the minors, work your way up. And then when you get there, it's 6 years of team control before you can cash in. In football, the physicality alone. You don't have the ability as an 18-year-old to jump to the NFL. You've got to go to college. You've got to put on weight. You've got to go up against bigger, more physical men. You've got to season yourself, and then you got to earn your stripes in the NFL. These dudes...
High school.
The second they face adversity...
Absolutely.
The second they face adversity, it's, look, it's not adversity over the contract because it's all guaranteed.
Right.
So the second they feel any adversity, you know what? I'm out of here. Kyrie Irving, I'm out of here. Kawhi Leonard, I'm out of here. And not only that, this is the best part. They pick their next destination.
Yeah.
Kyrie's, I'll go play at the Lakers. Well, you're going to go where we tell you, so right. We'll move you to Toronto, but you're right. Only really going to be there for a year, and then you'll end up going to the Lakers anyway.
And that's the thing about it. Everyone talks about LeBron James. He's a baby, all this stuff. What did he do? He freaking honored his contract. You never see this guy demanding trade, whatever happened with coaches, players, it doesn't matter. All he does is find a way to win. No, he can't get past this juggernaut in the Warriors, but then again, who can and who will? For what? For what? They can't because the team is a super team.
David Blatt might have a different impersonation
David
of what
Blatt,
LeBron
maybe
has done.
Maybe he will, but let me tell you one thing about LeBron. Maybe he will. LeBron is a constant pro. The guy shows up, he plays, 30-some years old, didn't miss a darn game, should have been the MVP.
Oh,
you guys said,
okay,
no.
Now we're
no,
going too far down,
is,
the, down
I,
the manhole.
Am I really going
luckily,
down this manhole?
Luckily, we're all out of time.
That's
luckily,
a shame, because I had more. I had more for you, though.
Good.
But this is just the warm-up hour. Oh. We like to ease our toes into the hot tub during the 6 o'clock hour. John Gruden, speaking again, giving us gold. That's next. Joe Lowe and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
Get ready for a Monster Monday on 95.7, The Game. That was intense. We're reacting to week 3 of the NFL all day with Jerry Rice at 8.
Ladies and gentlemen, Jerry Rice joining us here on 95.7 The Game.
And Michael Irvin at 4.
Hall of Famer Michael Irvin from NFL Network here on The Damon Bruce Show.
And Papa and Bonte are broadcasting live from Warriors Media Day.
The one-time darlings are now a dynasty.
Talking to the biggest stars of the Golden State Warriors from noon to 3.
The Golden State Warriors have won 3 of the last 4 NBA titles.
Monster Mondays on 95.7. The Game. Joe Lowe and Dibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
Another day, another dance with the media, another phenomenal quote. John Gruden is absolutely making good on that 10-year, $100 million contract. The winning will take some time. The winning will take some time, but at the very least, he's giving us something that we've complained about with the San Francisco Giants. He's entertaining. He's entertaining. If you're going to lose, at least be entertaining in the process. Gruden, with the media yesterday, once again gets on to the topic of topics. Take a listen.
It's hard to find a great one. It's hard to find a good one. It's hard to find one. You just said it. You know, college football now, they're not really dropping back to pass and throwing footballs anymore. They're throwing laterals and they're throwing bubble screens and they're running read options. So you got to train these guys. It takes a little bit of time to learn how to rush the passer. We got some guys that are in that process right now.
So it takes some time to learn how to rush the passer.
Oh my God.
It's hard to find a pass rusher. There are six questions I have that I want to get to on this, but just take me through it. Take me through the mindset when you hear this every day, because the second this quote surfaced, everyone in this studio, everyone at this station started talking about it.
It's appalling is what it is, and it's appalling, and John Gruden has to stop talking about the pass rush because it's a problem. Everyone knows it, and you traded away the best in the business. Everybody knows it. So there really is no good answer. Yes, pass rushers are incredibly hard to find. You look around the NFL, and you might be able to find 10 bona fide game wrecker types, you know, and we don't have to list them all. You all know who they are because they're transcendent players.
Don't say the name.
And that's why we know them. So, and I digest, Lo. The point being, they are incredibly hard to find. But the other side of the coin is you had one. And they're very difficult to train. Yes, we know that. Mo Hurst, Arden Key. Arden Key maybe could be the next Alden Smith, but obviously he needs time to train. You had
don't
one
say,
coach that was trained.
Okay.
I don't have to say the name Khalil Mack.
Oh! What are you doing? I'm out of words. That's it. I'm out of words. I mean, you think about what Gruden's been able to do, man. I mean, it's absolutely amazing. But you wanted someone that was going to be a lightning rod in the media. And I think Gruden knows what he says. I think he does it now just to, he understands he's heading it off. He understands he's going to be tied to this particular player for life. Throughout his career, this is going to go down. This will always be a thorn in his side, good, bad, or indifferent. If you watch the way that this thing is playing out, he's saying he's going to, what, their team's not ready yet. It's going to build. Newsflash, Gabe Jackson was a young guy you gave a lot of money to, and you got him in his prime right now. Rodney Hudson's going, you know, this is his big deal. And he's not going to get another big deal because he's been in the league for a while. KO's been in the league for a while. This is his big deal. You know what? This is the prime of his thing. So your three interior linemen are these guys, or you got them locked up. So their window is now. They're here for the next three more years, most of them are here for 3 years. You think about it, and you got a young rookie tackle. So you only need to get another tackle. So when you're saying, is this a build rebuild? I don't see it offensively as a rebuild because you have your quarterback, you have some interior linemen, four out of the five offensive linemen you have in place, you know? So I look at Gruden, and when he says that, it's hard to find these guys. They don't come around often. And one got out of the building, what are you saying? I mean, I know you got two picks, but it's just tough. And I think that Gruden is doing this intentionally. He's trying to stay ahead of it. I think he's trolling. I think that he's trying to motivate the guys that's on his team, the guy that's in those guys that are in the locker room, because there is no way anybody would say, God, these guys are hard to find. Man, they don't have them in college. They're a rarity. And arguably the top three in the league, this guy that got out of the building, that's where he was at, maybe even higher. So just interesting words by Gruden.
When I was in high school, and I still have this problem to this day, but it was much worse when I was younger, I could not take a joke to save my life, right? You could sit there and bust on other people. I was the guy who could bust on others, but when it came back at me, I had just no way of dealing with it. Just super mad, not able to roll with it.
Oh, really?
And people smell that. Yeah, I told you, I still to this day have that issue. But
you don't say.
When they smell blood in the water, they'll keep coming at you. Gruden has one of two ways to go about this. One, he can get defensive like he has been early on. And then the radio guys will talk about it. And the national TV guys will talk about it. And the local press will keep asking him about it to get a quote. He can continue to get defensive about it. Or he could do what I learned a little bit later in life. And I want to bring you in for this. Now, this is going to be a somewhat strange question, but it's not loaded. There's no trick answer. Just give me your honest opinion.
Okay.
How would you describe my eyebrows?
Your eyebrows?
Yeah.
They're thicker. Thicker eyebrows.
They're a little bit out there. They could probably use a little bit of maintenance. Would you say something like that?
They're not bad. For a guy, they're not bad. If they're on a woman, yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So, anyway, my thought process was, if you compare him to literally anyone else in the building, they're much bushier. They're much bigger.
Bushier is the word I thought of immediately.
Yeah. Okay. So that was the point I was getting
Definitely
at there.
Definitely bushy.
The reason is, when I was in college, late college, I decided to get him waxed. And when it was done, they were such thin, meticulous, specific lines. I looked at myself, and while I thought it looked good, I realized I was doomed. I was doomed because it didn't matter what any girl thought. Every dude I knew was going to shred me. So what did I do? The second I went out that night, before anyone could even look at me, I started making jokes about it. Look at how stupid this is. I was trying to do this. A, B, C, D, E. I laid it all out, and I took all the material off the board to the point where everyone just kind of looked, and they tried to fire a couple jokes, but you laughed and you rolled with it. You continued to make your jokes, and then everyone moved on. Perhaps one of the best pieces of material that could have sat out there for anyone had sufficiently been taken off the table.
Like Rabbit in 8 Mile, essentially.
Exactly. Exactly. When he goes up against Papa Doc at the end,
Dibbers.
He lays all of it out.
Yep.
That is what I think Gruden is starting to do right now. Every single day he meets with the media, whether he's asked or not, he should get right into the Khalil Mack stuff. Look, we're struggling to brush the passer. I don't know what to do. I took over. And I just don't know what to do, guys. Can anyone give me a hand? And then people start laughing. Then it gets disarmed. Then people realize, you know what? There's really nothing to see here. Let's move on. Because you're right. This is going to be attached to him for the rest of his career.
No question.
You have one of two options in that scenario. One is you can get defensive about it and give everybody what they want. You can not admit fault. You can just dance around it. And people will keep coming. Or you can make light. You can troll. And when it's all said and done, boom. People will eventually walk away from
it. Yeah, you could run material, but that's definitely a commitment, you know, for him to say, you know, I like the way our pass rush is going. There's a kid right now at Clemson who's a junior who I think we can get with one of those first-round picks we traded, you know, Khalil Mack for. And, you know, Arden Key, I think he was close. He was about 8 feet away from the quarterback last week,
right.
So he's
Arden.
Getting closer. You can run material, but this is one that, you're right, is going to dog him throughout his entire tenure here.
I think, Dibs, this is one that you say, you know what, Joe? Your eyebrows, they grew back, and that's why they're pushed and they're thick. You know what? Khalil, he ain't coming. Oh, I shouldn't have said his name. That guy's not coming back. And the thing about it is, your eyebrows can grow back. Yeah, people can laugh maybe a week or two. Maybe it takes 3 weeks.
It takes a little while, believe it or not.
Okay, maybe a month, 2 months, 3 months.
Probably closer
to get back to
months.
This?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, she took two-thirds of it off.
Okay, let's just say 6 months. Let's say a year. But you know what? Khalil signed a 6-year deal. So the you got to look at the Raiders and their situation. And I say that because of the fact what Khalil Mack is going to do in the next 4 to 5 years in his heyday, in his prime, it's going to be amazing and it's going to be attached to Gruden. The only thing that he can do to help kind of dissipate this whole deal is win a Super Bowl, find another pass rusher that's adequate to him, and don't go out in free agency, please, after this season. And go find a pass rusher and go pay a pass rusher.
Try to get DeMarcus Lawrence or somebody and pay
Lawrence.
Them $20 million.
Okay, so that's a great point. You can't go pay a pass rusher because everyone's going to go, why didn't you just pay Mack?
Correct.
But if you draft the pass rusher with one of these picks, everyone's going to expect him to be Khalil Mack.
That's right.
And anytime he comes
that's
close
right.
to falling short, this poor kid is going to be ridiculed. Thank God the Colts had Andrew Luck stepping in for Peyton Manning.
Right.
Otherwise, you were screwed. Thank God the Packers had Aaron Rodgers stepping in for Brett Favre. When the legend's gone, the next guy up is going to face a hell of a burden. Steve Young was able to handle it up with nothing more than graciousness and success.
You can ask Jeff Garcia about how it felt to follow Montana and Young, and he'd probably tell you it wasn't the best, most ideal spot.
And he was solid.
He was very solid. Yeah,
and I think too these young pass rushers the Raiders have, the young guys on the team we talked about. You know, we make jokes about. You don't think they pick up their phone, mama, daddy, uncles, cousin, said, "Hey, that guy's gone. You can shine. Hey, this is your opportunity." You don't understand. The pressure that they're calling, they're talking to their coach. These young guys that are on this Raider team, all those linebackers are saying, I want that. I'm in this situation. I get to show what I'm about. Gruden has given these guys opportunity to step up and play big, and they have an unbelievable time right now to seize the moment, to get overpaid. All they have to do is go out and go play and play at a higher level. Right now, they are not playing at the level that Gruden expected them to, I think he would have chose not to go down this route, because if you look at what he has at the outside pass rushers, the table is set. and I'm not going to say was, it is set because it's still early in the season, that someone can emerge, and someone can emerge big, and this is a young team, especially on the defense side, that Gruden's waiting for someone to step up, and right now they haven't done it.
We opened the show with the players on both sides of Bay Area football who we considered big-time winners through the first 2 weeks of the season. Now it's time to highlight the underachievers and how they might be able to contribute in a big way as both teams embark on potential upset missions this weekend. Jolo and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
I do got a dumb friend named Cheddar Bob who shoots himself in his leg with his own gun.
Listen to Steinmetz and Guru. Weekdays from 10 to noon.
Are the 49ers a player away? And would you want to, ideally? Now, Antonio Brown just signed a contract, 4 years, $68 million. You really going to be able to pay Garoppolo 20-plus and Antonio Brown 17-plus? I thought there's no way you can do that anymore in the NFL.
Steinmetz and Guru, 10 to noon on 95.7 The Game. Joe Lo and Dibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
What does it take to pull off an upset? Basketball, hockey, baseball, football specifically. What does it take to pull off an upset? The anatomy of an upset, so to speak. Coming up today around 7:30 as both local NFL teams embark on this mission. The Raiders find themselves as 3-point dogs in a very tricky spot. And we'll explain that in a little bit. A very tricky spot at Miami. As for the Niners, they're heading to Kansas City to take on the flavor of the month in the Kansas City Chiefs, who are currently 6.5-point favorites. Before we get to any of that, though, we opened the show today on a positive note. We wanted to talk about players who we thought were winning, local players who were winning, in the words of the great Charlie Sheen, through the first 2 weeks of the season. Now we're flipping the script. Through 2 weeks, who's been underachieving? Let's begin with the San Francisco 49ers. Lo, in your opinion, heading into this week, you're going to need to see big performances from a lot of players. Who's one that's been a bit under the radar, a bit underachieving to this moment?
Yeah, and I know everyone's thinking I'm going to go Solomon Thomas. I'm not doing that. You know what? I'm going to a secondary guy, and I kind of feel for the guy, and I'm hoping this guy can get it together. Witherspoon, you look at this guy. He's got 5 tackles. You know, he's got 3 solo tackles, 2 assists, no sacks. No force fumbled. You look at this guy, they're going at him. He's a guy that everyone's targeting. He's only in his second year. You understand that. You want him to come around. Guy's 6'3". He's long. He's rangy. 195. So he's a big corner. The guy, 23 years old. Draft him in third round, 66 overall. Here's a guy that you expect a little bit more from. Saw last week. You saw teams going at him, picking on him a little bit. And he's young. And you want this guy to develop, but right now you got to get bigger. You got to play better. You got to understand the importance of you. People are going to test you until you show that you're able to withstand. And guys are going to continue to come at you. So this guy's got to get better. I hate to pick on him, but Witherspoon is this week, especially against the Kansas City Chiefs, how prolific this offense is and the way they like to throw the ball down the field. This guy's going to have to step up, and he's going to have to step up, and he's going to play big. So my guy who's underachieving and needs to get this thing together, needs to get it together right away. If not, it's going to be a tough Sunday. It's old Witherspoon.
Through 2 weeks, opposing quarterbacks Kirk Cousins and Matthew Stafford have thrown at Witherspoon 15 times. Of those 15 passes, 9 have been completed for 121 yards and 3 touchdowns. Opposing quarterbacks have a rating of 125.3 when throwing in his direction. This is going to be a big weekend for Akello Witherspoon. Dibs, underachieving from the 49ers to this point.
Well, you thought I was going to go with Solomon Thomas.
I did.
But I'm not, Lo. I'm going with the quarterback, old Jimmy G. Because you look at Jimmy Garoppolo, and you look at the Minnesota performance, and he throws 3 interceptions, and you think, you know what? We're going to give you a pass. Not a hard pass, but a soft pass, because it was a very good defense. But he made some mistakes. The receivers left him hanging.
Yeah.
Fine. 3 interceptions. Then you come back against Detroit, a team that got embarrassed in their opener from a defensive standpoint. And you're thinking, all right, time to eat, Jimmy G.
Sure.
18 of 26 for 206 yards. Not good enough. And you look at no interceptions, and then you remember, oh, wait, he did throw an interception, but my beloved Zebras bailed him out with a call made some 47 yards away. And that interception, while not a pick six, it's what I call a pick three, because they returned it all the way inside the 20-yard line. They would have gotten a field goal. They probably would have gone in and scored a touchdown, and the Niners could easily be 0-2. Jimmy G has got to be much, much better against Kansas City. We've talked all week about how you beat the Chiefs, and you're not going to beat them 12-9. I think we can all pretty much agree to that. So Jimmy G is going to have a big game, and so far through two games, he is underachieved, in my opinion, Joe.
Well, there's an interesting story surfacing with Garoppolo. I don't remember what her name is, but the adult film star that he went on the date with, Kiara Mia,
yeah.
She posted on social yesterday that she is San Francisco bound.
Ooh.
San Francisco bound. Now, I don't know what to make of that, but it got the interweb.
Good.
All worked up.
Maybe it'll help him out.
None of that 24 hours before competition.
Yeah, that's just boxing. He needs
women and weakened legs, Rock.
Help Jimmy G out, girl. Come on down here and take care of my man.
My guy is a simple one. 3 years, $19.25 million. That's Marquise Goodwin. And Marquise Goodwin so far has been targeted one time.
Mm.
Zero receptions, 0 yards, 0 touchdowns. I know he's battling injury, but let's be honest. The most important aspect of ability is availability.
Oh,
and if you're going to give him this much money and that much hype, Garoppolo needs your help. You got to get active. You got to get on the field. You're a track star. You can make plays. We hear the back and forth this week with Tyreek Hill calling out Matt Breida. Breida known as the cheetah. Tyreek Hill calls himself the cheetah. So there's been a little banter back and forth. Goodwin was asked about this in the locker room, and all he did was roll up his sleeve to show reporters the Olympic rings tattoo he has either on his arm or his leg. I'm not sure.
On his arm.
But he wanted to, you know, let the word be out, Olympian. Well, all right, great. I'm glad you're in this banter. Make a play. You were a great story last year. You can still be a great story. We get that you're battling injury, but you haven't done anything through the first two games of the season. You got to get on the field. You got to make some plays.
Let it fly, Jimmy G.
I don't think that he's going to play. Judging by Matt Barrows, who's going to join us in about 8 minutes,
He
posted a video of him running at practice, and he still looks pretty hesitant, not only to accelerate, but also when trying to stop. And, you know, though, when you're running and you go to stop, it's the quad muscle that helps your body stop running. And I don't see him being, at least at this point, strong enough to be able to go, in my humble and amateur opinion.
Then why are you talking trash? Then why are you involved in banter with Tyreek Hill? That makes no sense to me. If the media just wants an affable quote from you, that's a situation where, hey man, that's what he said. I'm trying to get healthy for this game. I don't want to see the Olympic rings and it's kind of funny. I would grab your back in that situation. Well, if you can't play and Tyreek Hill's running free, he wins.
Right.
It doesn't matter what your 40 time is.
Sure.
He wins. All right. Before Barrows joins us in about 3 minutes here at 7 o'clock, top of the hour. What direction do you want to go with the Oakland Raiders? Who has been underachieving through the first two games of the season?
Yeah, this is really tough for me. Here's a guy that, you know, that they put a lot of pressure on this guy. This guy was, you know, drafted, you know, in the first round, 15th overall, 30 years old, and in his seventh season from West Virginia. That's right, Bruce Irvin. Here's a guy that you expect a lot out of. You understand Khalil Mack's going to be gone. He left the building. So now it's you. It's your turn to step up, and it's your team. You're the guy that want to put pressure on the quarterback. You're the guy that should be out there making the tackles. Got 2 tackles already this year. 2 games, 2 tackles. Averaging 1 tackle a game. Got 1 sack, all right? Forced fumbles, got 1. You look at INT, 0. If you think about what this guy was brought in for, he's a first-round pick. He's a first-round talent. 15th overall, you expect this guy to step up and step up big. Right now, you're supposed to be the emotional leader on this defense. You're supposed to be the guy to get after quarterback. You're the guy that's supposed to make these other guys play harder. And right now, Bruce Irvin's not getting it done. You saw the plays, you know, those plays last week in Mile High where he does a little spin. He's not running to the ball. Just tap the helmet, come out, but come in that ball game, and you need to be fresh. And he needs to have a signature game. If this team is going to beat the Miami Dolphins, Bruce Irvin's going to have to play big, and he's going to have to put some pressure on Tannehill. This is a guy, in my opinion, Joe, this is supposed to be the heartbeat of this team. He's an emotional leader. He's supposed to get after quarterback, and right now, Bruce Irvin's not doing it. So right now, the guy that's underachieving, in my opinion, has to be Bruce Irvin.
I'm going to break this down later because the Raiders are walking into a bigger pitfall than most realize this weekend. We make our jokes about Tannehill. Last 10 games the Dolphins have played with him under center. Anyone's idea as to what their record is? They're 9-1 in Tannehill's last 10 starts.
Oh, wow.
Now we forget that he's 2-0 this year, and last season missed the whole year because of the injury. Cutler filled in. He's 9-1 over his last 10 starts. He was picking up Gase's system. So we make our jokes.
Yeah.
There's more of this, too. This Miami game could be viewed one way. Once you dig into it, this is a much more daunting task than most realize. You got Bruce Irvin. Which direction are you going for?
I'm going Donald Penn. I had Bruce Irvin down on my short list, but then I thought, you know what? It's Donald Penn for me. And the one play that really sticks in my mind is against Denver when Von Miller juked him out of his cleats.
And he fell.
Out of his pants. And
his
fell.
Both legs got together.
Yeah.
And his toes clicked.
It's been more than that. It was kind of a Dorothy moment. You know, there's no place like home. It's Ruby Slippers. He went heels together. Man, that was quite a move. Miller gives him the hard jab left, and then he cuts it back in, and he got a little caught up. And
you never cross your feet, big fella.
Yeah.
And for me, I God, Dibs, that's a good one. You said it. He's done. He's an older guy. You moved him to the other side of the place.
Right.
He's never been comfortable. He's never played that. You took a Pro Bowler, moved him to another spot that's getting older, so he's not as quick anyway. And now you put him on a side that he's not accustomed to. And watching it was like watching a tree fall in the woods. Timber! Down he went, man. It was bad. I like that play, too.
I'll round it out with an individual who signed for 2 years, $14.2 million this offseason. If you pace out Jordy Nelson's numbers, currently, through its 16-game season, he'll have 40 receptions for 424 yards and zero touchdowns. That is not good enough. That is not good enough. You were brought in to replace Michael Crabtree. You will be compared to Michael Crabtree statistically throughout the course of the season. 40 for 424 and zero isn't going to cut it. Granted, the touchdowns are going to happen no matter what. You're not going to pace out those two over 16 games and believe in that. But he's only on pace for 64 total targets. They got to get him more involved in the offense. You are listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1, a radio.com station. Good morning and thank you for your time. Greg Papa will join us.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.